Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. Before I get into this week's program, let me thank our sponsors that include Novus International, a leader in animal health and nutrition, for the poultry, beef, aqua, dairy, and pork markets, as well as Leica Geosystems, when it has to be right. And we'd like to also thank Successful Farming. They're asking the question, do you know? And their answer is, we do. You'll have to come by their booth at the NAMA Agro Marketing Conference to find out what the questions and the answers are. This Zimcast would have been coming to you from Belgium and the IFAJ Congress, which is taking place there in Ostend. But thanks to the Iceland volcano, I was not able to make it. So I am at Zimcom World Headquarters and watching all the action, because if you go to 2010ifaj.org, you're going to find a link to their blog, and they're posting photos and videos, and they've got a Flickr photo album going. Their Twitter account is active, and they're tweeting pictures there as well. I'm borrowing some of those to help share some of the information, which includes what I found out this morning from Mike Wilson, who is the president of IFAJ right now, and he is an editor for Farm Futures. Mike says that about 120 people made it to the Congress, and about 40 had to cancel, and I was one of those, unfortunately. But they are having a great time there, and some of the people wound up getting on trains and cars and taking an extra half to a full day just to get there for the few days of the Congress. Well, looking to the National Agro Marketing Conference, which is taking place this week in Kansas City, Missouri, Zimcom will be exhibiting there in the Connection Point as we have before. We've got a couple drawings that include for professionals a Barnes & Noble Nook, that's their e-reader, as well as for students, a Zoom H2 digital audio recorder for those aspiring farm podcasters. And we're looking forward to seeing a lot of our friends and clients as well and getting to meet with them. Our sponsor for coverage on AgWired for the NAMA conference this year, once again, is Successful Farming. I had the opportunity to speak to their social media superstar, John Walter. And I say social media superstar because John received an award from the Men Integrated Marketing Awards Program for his work, and that in particular with their Young Farmers of the Future social network, which I believe they have over 3,000 people registered in now. In my conversation with John, we kind of talk a little bit about the farmer use of social media, some of the things that they've learned through their research, and I think hopefully you'll find that interesting as we look to what is happening in agricultural communications from our perspective, having been in this for quite some time. John, we're both looking forward to another great convention in Kansas City with the National Agro Marketing Association, and I want to, first of all, thank Successful Farming for once again sponsoring AgWired's coverage of the event. Let's talk about a few things. You guys are going to have some very interesting information to present to people and point out to them when we get to this convention this year. And really, a lot of that's coming from research you've done with farmers about media habits. And increasingly, that seems to be including online media habits as well as social networking. Well, maybe we'll just start there, and what would you kind of like to point out to people to get the conversation started here?
Okay, Chuck. Well, thanks for the chance to talk with you. Always enjoy that, and I guess I'm not going to try to present the new research itself, but more speak from my experience in working in digital media, including our website, agriculture.com, our social network, farmersforthefuture.com, social network for young and beginning farmers. And then some of the polling we do on a routine basis, I think, suggests that there are some very exciting trends taking shape, and as you know, well know, Chuck, and but we, you know, seeing this on a daily basis makes us think that we're, to me, me, it feels like we're going through the kind of change that we did in the mid 90s with the invention of the graphical browser. I think that's how profound the coalescing of technologies that we're seeing now is it's that important, I think. And we are, I suspect, kind of on the vanguard in the early stages of farmer use of some of the new technologies, and that would include multimedia applications, mobile devices, and social media. So I think they're at least, you can probably put those technologies in about those three sort of buckets, and each of those I think has some very interesting developments occurring. So.
Well, I have to mention AgChat Foundation, which was just announced recently. And this is really mostly a farmer-led group now to encourage farmers to get involved in social networking, social media, really. Is that just kind of a sign of what your findings are through the research you've done? And you know, I mean, I certainly haven't done that kind of research, but see increasingly that as others are doing it, like Successful Farming, that it all seems to be pointing to what we think we know anecdotally, but putting some numbers to it too.
Yeah, and I guess I think that there are some ways to quantify what's going on out there, out on the land. I think my sense is that that we're still very much in the early adopter stage, that you're seeing the kind of people that it's like the first people that experimented with no-till. You know, you had a bunch of guys tinkering with machinery and trying to figure out how to put a seed in the ground through crop residue. And I think that's a little bit what we're seeing in social media. Our Young and Beginning Farmer Network has over 3,000 members, who many of whom are pretty active. We have over 10,000 photos that are shared in some very active forums and blogs. And so that, I think that's a good sign. I think, some of the much heralded activity on Twitter and Facebook is still largely media people, agency and, organization, farm organization representatives, and media folks, and that's great. But and I think the farmer adoption of some of those services is still incipient, but I think it's probably going to come, and it's going to change, I think, the way we communicate with farmers.
Well, it's happening, and as I like to tell people, it's going to happen whether you like it or not. And that is still occurring in the general public too. I mean, we're distinguishing farmers here, but even if you look at the general public, I just saw a statistic today that Twitter now has 105 million registered accounts, I guess you would say. And if you look at the number of tweets per day, it was 55 million versus Facebook updates, which was about 60 million. So really, we had heard kind of this, well, Twitter isn't growing very fast. And you know what? It's I don't know that that's necessarily true, at least according to the latest statistics that they published.
Yeah, it looks like Twitter has come off its plateau. And globally, I think the numbers are much larger even. So, I think you ignore this technology at your own peril, just like I think there was a lot of skepticism in 1995 about, the web.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
It seems absurd to say that now, but I'm old enough to remember that, and I see this period that we're going through right now feels a lot like that in terms of the ambiguity, but also the rapid acceleration of the development of technology here, communication technology.
Well,
You have to, if you're not experimenting with these things, I think it would be a mistake, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, let's see now. It's kind of hard for me to believe, but I just had to write a response to some college students who are interested in our domesticfuel.com alternative fuel news blog, okay? And I looked at that and had to realize we started that in 2005. So it's going on 5 years, and AgWired, our flagship one, is close to a year older than that. It's hard to believe we've been doing things like blogging for that many years already, you know.
Yeah.
When you look back at it, I think now people are kind of not going, what's a blog, as much as what blogs do you read or subscribe to, you know?
but there again, Chuck, you were on the leading edge of blogging, obviously.
Oh, yeah, there was hardly any of it being done then.
And,
you know?
And there's still folks who are just entering. I think we're coming kind of into the middle of the bell curve on blogging, where people, you know, are starting to get it, and you see a lot more farmers who, you know, have blogs, and certainly people in the communications industry are you know, well on their way. But I think, again, it's still something that's evolving, even though you've been around it for a long time.
Hey, what? There's
the
no
train
question.
Hasn't totally left the station on any of this stuff, I guess, is what I'm suggesting.
Yeah. No, it isn't. And let's, you know, keep in perspective, this is a technology-driven communication shift that we're having. It's not to say that other established methods of communication are no longer valid by any stretch.
Right,
this
and
is,
I,
you know,
that I think that's one of the interesting thing that comes out in our research is that people still like magazines, and they score high in reader preference surveys that we're doing here, and so you know, it's not like we're losing, you know, our legacy media, if you will. I think we're just adding, you know, new dimensions to the way we communicate with people, and the net effect, it seems to me, is that the farmer, the individual reader, is put kind of at the center of the universe, where they can pick and choose how they want to communicate with us and in the forms they want to receive information from us. So we have to, you know, make sure our brands are kind of ubiquitous in all these different forms, and that they're available to folks when they want them and how they want them. It's a big challenge, but it's a pretty exciting time to be in this business, I think.
Well, that's true. And, just look at, let's get back to the NAMA convention, both successful, and ZimCom will be exhibiting in the Connection Point trade show. We're giving away a Barnes & Noble e-reader that's called the Nook, and for students, we're giving away a digital audio recorder, so they for the aspiring young farm podcaster. But you guys are giving away an iPad, and can you imagine, just, you know, like I said, 6 years ago we started getting into this, those would have been considered something out of a science fiction book, basically.
I guess that gets back to just how dramatic this period is we're going through, and a lot of us haven't laid our hands on an iPad yet, I suspect that. But, you know, I have to say, one bit of research we did on the day the iPad was launched, we put a poll on one of our forums, and had a pretty good response, number of people that took the survey. And on that very first day, there were over a third of the respondents said they would like to buy an iPad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wasn't even sure what one was yet. And another third were kind of said, take a wait-and-see attitude. So you had really two-thirds of farmers who had, you know, sort of really strong inherent interest in that new platform. So that was kind of cool.
Well, I will profess to having experience now, because I did have mine delivered on that day. And I kind of wonder at this point, you know, like, is there a limit to how many apps you really should have? But because I keep finding good new ones, you know.
So what's going to be the basic ZimCom shooting match? Are you going to carry your smartphone and your laptop and an iPad? And I mean, are those the three essentials now?
Well, I joked on a tweet that I had, this was within a day or two of having that device, that I now had my iMac, which is my desktop computer, my MacBook Pro, notebook, iPhone, and iPad all in sync. So my life was synchronized, you know?
Yeah.
But seriously, if you look at these things, I think people tend to think in how should I say this? Kind of like, you know, is this device going to replace that device? And is this device going to replace that device? And I think that's sort of narrow thinking. And when you look at these devices, they have different purposes. I don't think any one of them actually really replaces the other. I mean, a notebook could theoretically replace your desktop, and I lived without a desktop for 5 years. I finally just decided to go ahead and get one because of some convenience issues that it brings to my business. But really, I can see taking my iPad with the applications that are built for it and coming pretty close to being a standalone device. It doesn't have a camera built into it, so there's an issue for somebody like myself. But
to what extent will it supplant your laptop?
It already has. I mean,
really?
I literally will grab that thing and do anything from email to which you know, with the type of email accounts that you have with an Exchange server or whatever, I mean, everything's going to be in sync that you do. So I have that ability. I can read all of the news that I want from a variety of services, unlike some of, you know, the Barnes & Noble Nook or the Kindle for Amazon. This thing is sort of a multi-store platform in that I can buy and read books from about 5 or 6 different stores that include Amazon. And, of course, Apple has theirs now with the iBooks. It's a gorgeous book reader, best I've ever seen. And I can just keep going down a list here of things that allows me to do, which includes writing on my website with, we use WordPress. There's a WordPress app that allows me to log in, and I've done posts on multiple websites from it already. I mentioned AgChat, which is a very interactive, kind of fast-paced Twitter conversation, and I just connect I have a separate little Bluetooth keyboard, which just makes typing a little easier on it. Not that it's that bad, but it is easier on a full keyboard, and I've just participated for 2 hours straight on the iPad, you know. So it doesn't completely replace it. I don't think it will replace your need for a notebook, but for just the sake of convenience in terms of reading books or watching movies or, you know, dealing with Facebook and Twitter and email, which encompasses a fair percentage of what you do on computing, you know. So I think for people who I look at it as a great device to consume media on. Now
that seems to be the consensus.
That has a bunch of other applications and functionality.
And I think publishers are looking at the devices to kind of open up some new possibilities in their digital magazine capabilities. You know, Meredith is banded together with Hearst and Time Inc. and News Corp. to in an alliance to develop new digital storefront that'll capitalize on development of these new devices. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think publishers have high hopes for it.
After discussing some of these ideas that are happening in terms of new technology and communications, can you predict what you think will be the impact on agricultural communications? It already has. I think we both would admit that. But if we kind of want to crystal ball a little bit, year, 5 years out, or even more, what do you think in terms of what the farmer of tomorrow is going to be doing in terms of getting his information and who's going to be supplying it to him?
We think successful farming will be a player, and that's, you know, we're trying to lay the groundwork for our future now as all this change takes place. I'd have to defer to greater minds for, you know, a very clear view of how all these things are going to combine. But if you look at the multimedia capabilities, the mobile applications, and the social media aspects, I think those things are going to sort of combine in some interesting ways in agriculture, and I think we're in the very early stages of that. But we know that you know a lot of the media gurus are suggesting that sales of smartphones are going to outpace desktop computer sales this year. If if not this year, maybe next. So mobile apps are proliferating. You know, consumers have downloaded, you know, what, 3 billion iPhone apps,
right,
or something like that since the App Store was launched a couple years ago. You know, half of farmers are, in our survey, under age 40 or say they're using smartphones now or will be very soon. So this stuff is really kind of starting to come to a crossroads, I think. The other thing that we see, and I know others as well see, that one of the hot trends is the accelerated adoption of precision ag technology.
Right.
You know, this spring we saw a poll that on our site that where two-thirds of farmers said they'd be adding a new precision ag feature this spring, you know, something like auto steer RTK capability or individual rower boom shutoffs or something like that. So you can't help but think, don't you believe, Chuck, that precision ag mentality will combine with the communications piece of this in some form. And so I just think people are going to start to bundle information services,
right,
you know, in the cab, so to speak, and I think, you know, we'll see a variety of players, and I think, you know, publishers will be very much involved in the content development side of this. So everything we're doing here, we have to look at how it will apply to the different platforms. And, you know, we of course recently launched a mobile site, so it's part of our daily routine now to look at not only print but web and email newsletters and mobile devices, and it goes on from there. So,
well, we've seen more than one company actually in the precision area come out with software built into their in-the-cab equipment to take advantage of a cellular service to relay or maybe information, say, back to their office, but also connect to the equipment provider for, say, service calls. And, you know, it really is becoming a very interconnected world when you think of what's going on with what we call cloud computing today. And I saw a release this morning even of some pretty major companies taking advantage of a cloud based information system to communicate with dealers, for example, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it definitely is going that way. I mean, I like to tell people, have been for a while, that this little device we carry around in our hands and sits on our hip most of the time, this is where information is going. And as we see devices like the iPad and others, it's just getting easier and easier to use them to do things that we used to have to wait until we got back home to sit down in front of the computer. And
yeah,
both of us remember when that wasn't an option.
Yeah, and you know, with something is you know, I guess simple as the fact that people with auto steering will have their hands free, and
mm-hmm,
it will give them time to maybe do some other monitoring of other aspects of their lives besides what they're doing right there in the cab. And so I just think it's going to be really cool to see how all these things evolve.
Well, you look at the program at NAMA and look at any agricultural marketing or communications event or meeting in the last over a year now, and I would dare say almost all of them have had new and social media as a key component of what the professional development has been. And
yes,
it looks pretty big on the program this year at NAMA.
Yes. Yeah, I think it looks like a great program to me. I'm looking forward to getting down to Kansas City and talking to people.
All right. Well, John, I really appreciate you taking some time to talk with me here about our NAMA convention coming up, our participation in that. Hopefully people will come see us at the Connection Point. Those hours are Wednesday night, and then we've got midday and Thursday evening. So not a whole lot of hours, but enough to, I think, really interact and get to see a lot of friends and people that we do business with, which I think is probably one of the best benefits of NAMA right there, is that whole networking thing.
Yeah, you betcha. Well, Chuck, we'll see you down there.
All right. Well, thank you very much. John Walters with Successful Farming, one of those gurus of the online communications world. In fact, I think something about an award that you won not too long ago, John.
Oh, gosh. It's a bit embarrassing. But, yeah, we were anointed a social media superstar or something like that.
Right.
our marketing, my marketing friends were happy about it. And, of course, it was a nice thing to do on behalf of our new Young and Beginning Farmer
right.
social network, which it was really in recognition of. And there were a number of people involved in that. So,
well, I just love to bask in the light and warmth of a superstar whenever I can, you know, so.
All right, I'll buy you a beer.
Thank you, John. Well, even though I did not get to attend the IFAJ Congress this year, which is taking place in Belgium, I am pretty sure I'm going to be able to make it to Kansas City for the National Agri-Marketing Conference. There you will find John and other people who work for Meredith, since Successful Farming is a Meredith publication, and you can find out more information about them at agriculture.com. And we'll be there too, and looking forward to seeing friends and clients, and we'll be covering it on agwire.com. So I hope you like our coverage, and we'll check in with it to see the latest news on what's happening in the world of agri-marketing. Well, that's the Zimcast for this week. I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.